In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing on volume 20, 12, 19, 19, 26, and we're talking about the prime act of God, the single act of God. And this doctrine of the divine will, as St. Honorable de Francia would call it, it's to enter into this understanding, okay? So this is important. So the last thing we read, my daughter, in issuing the creation, the divinity bilocated its will. So Jesus says to Louisa, this gift of bilocation is now going to be given to all of humanity again. As God breathed into Adam, this Ruach of God, this breath of God, now this bilocation is coming. And when you think of bilocation, we think of the bilocation of the saints, but that's not what Jesus is talking about. This bilocation of the divine will, a soul, okay, remains one with God. For our regime, our joy, our divine happiness, our divine contentments are innumerable and infinite beatitudes that we possess. So we participate. We were that drop of water into that cup filled with wine. That drop of water becomes wine. It fuses and diffuses. And that's what Jesus is offering to us. Do you want to be fused and diffused into the divine will? Do you want to participate in this? Because our divine will has the first place in all our acts. So God is offering this to us. Now, while all these properties issued by us glorified us, giving us triune God the glory of as many continuous and divine acts for as many created things that came out into the light. So Jesus, everything, see, this is why he wants us to learn how to pray the round of creation. Everything in creation, all these many things came out of this, out to the light. They were established as properties of humanity. Everything of creation belongs to us. It's ours. This is why we want to fuse ourselves with our triune God. And we want to begin to possess everything that God has given us. We want to take all of creation and make it our own. Unifying their human wills with our holy divine will, we're to have their act in each of our acts in the divine will. So think about every leaf on a tree. Jesus has showed this to Louisa. He showed Louisa. He says, Louisa, look at the tree. What do you see on the leaves of the trees? And she says, I see your I love you and our Blessed Mother's I love you on each of the leaves. And he says, Louisa, where are your I love yous? And she goes, I want to do that. And as soon as she said, I want that, the whole tree was covered with I love yous of Louisa as well. If you did this humanly, you know, with a pen writing I love you on each, you'd be there all summer long and you still would not have covered all the leaves on a tree. Jesus says, what I have created, I give to humanity. And what he's waiting for is I thank you. I love you and gratitude. This beautiful yes to God in creation. This is why we have to learn to pray the rounds of creation. If you want the rounds, everything if you go to luisapicaretta.me, check the rounds of, I love the rounds of, I love all the rounds, but especially where we are now, the rounds of Easter and Pentecost. You haven't seen anything yet. As you enter into the rounds, as you get deeper and deeper into the rounds, what Jesus says to Louisa keeps on expanding. There's no end to what Jesus says to Louisa. So he says this to us. Many things came out to the light and they were established as properties of humanity who, unifying their human will with our divine will, were to have their act in each act of our divine will in such a way that just as we triune God were to have the divine act of our divine will in each created thing, we were to have the act of each human transfused as if they were one alone. We're going to participate in this life, this light, this love of God. This is what the divine will is offering to us. With this, the soul would come to know its riches. And by knowing them, the soul would begin to love them, and the soul would acquire the right to possess them. So this knowledge is so essential. These lessons are so essential. These promises of Jesus are so essential for us to read and to study and to put them into practice. You're going to see things that I can't see because of who you are. As you read, as you study, as you enter into this life, which is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, you begin to see things from a divine perspective. And you get to know them and possess them. That's what Adam did. Adam knew these and possessed this. The new Adam, Jesus, knew these and possessed them. The new Eve, Mary, knew these and possessed them. Now God is offering this to us. In order to possess these goods that the celestial Father put out in the creation, the soul must make her way. So we've got to work at this. We've got to walk towards this. She must elevate herself to union with that divine will in order to work together with it. So Jesus is offering this to us. I'm offering this to you, Jesus says. Do you want this? And if we say yes, God goes, good, come on. I'll show you how to do this. I'll give you the grace. I'll give you the light. I'll give you the understanding, Jesus says. To do the same acts, to know them in order to do them, to be able to say what the divine will does, I do. See, we participate with that drop of water into the chalice. That drop of water becomes wine. It fuses and diffuses in that wine and becomes wine. And this is why Jesus says, as you begin to know these, participate in this divine will, you will be able to say what the divine will does, I do. Image and likeness. The likeness is to do what God does. Okay? So in creation, God breathes this, I love you, in creation, in every leaf on a tree. And you look at the leaves and you say, I want to love you, Lord, in return for every leaf on a tree. I want to put my I love you on each leaf that ever existed. I want to participate in this divine I love you back to God. What the divine will does, I do. With this, the soul acquires the right of possessing in all the acts of this supreme will. And then the two wills form one single will. What is mine is yours. No longer, what is mine and yours no longer exists. Rather, by right, what is mine is yours, and what is yours is mine. This is the wedding feast. It's the marriage between God and man. This is what God wanted from the beginning. Jesus came to earth to find a bride. The Holy Church is his bride collectively. But individually, Jesus teaches Louisa, I am going to marry each soul individually as well, as if, and Louisa says this, as if each soul had their own personal Jesus that no one knows about. It's the relationship between you and Jesus. That's why when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in the front of the monstrance, adoring God, loving God, praising God, thanking God, no one on earth can love God the way you can. Your uniqueness is what God loves. Your fingerprints, your irises, your colors, your sizes, your shapes, your everything about you is what God loves. Volume 20, 1-9, 1927. With the balance of all the human acts in the soul has let the act of the divine will enter. On her part, the soul empties all her human acts and let the divine will flow as prime act, and the divine will lays its kingdom foundation within each soul. Because there is a soul who has taken to heart that which no human act can act in, which the human world does not want to fix her light, so that the human may be knocked down and the divine will alone may reappear in all things. So we want to give our I love you to God. It's a little flame compared to the divine will, which is a sun. And we participate in this. We say, I want my little I love you, my nothing of I love you, to enter into the divine I love you of God. I want to participate. So it says, the human will is knocked down the flame is gone, and what appears is reappears is the divine will in the soul, in all things, past, present, and future. My daughter, Jesus says, you cannot comprehend what I, God, feel for you, the divine joys, the divine happiness I, God, feel because I, God, find in you, Louisa, and the soul's linked to Louisa, the first fruits of the kingdom of my divine will. I find, as God, the delights of the early fruits that Adam had before the fall, the first fruits of the music that only the creature who lives in the divine will can produce. So he's now saying, I love you. No one else can do this. You're the only one that can produce this note, this song, this joy to God. Because the soul takes all of our notes that are in our divine will and makes them her own. And then the soul forms her beautiful music in my kingdom. You see what God is doing? It's a new and divine way of holiness that's coming to humanity. The saints didn't see this. They learned how to do the will of God. But to live in the will of God is what God is asking. And how I delight in listening to that soul, Jesus says. I, God, find the first fruits in order, the first fruits of true love that my divine will has conceded to her. So this true love is the proposal of this wedding feast. This is why we wear the ring. We wear the ring to remind ourselves that God has proposed to us and we have said yes. How can we not be happy? How can we worry about anything? I find the first fruits of divine beauty that enraptures me, God, so much that I, God, cannot detach my gaze. So I, God, find all of your acts as first acts that no one before you has given to me. Here, Louisa is the firstborn. Louisa is the newborn. Adam couldn't give these gifts as Louisa. Why? Because he didn't have Jesus as his Adam. He didn't have Mary as his Eve. Louisa has this. Oh, happy fault of Adam. We sing every Holy Saturday night. Oh, happy fault. Why? What we are giving to God is more than what Adam could have given to God. It's not only everything that God gave to Adam, but more than that, what Louisa has now given to our Heavenly Father. That's the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. The first fruits are always the things that are liked most, that attract and are most enjoyed the most. So he says, Louisa, you are the first to do this. And now he's offering this to us. Who are we? We're nobodies. We're nothings. And if the other similar things come after the first fruits, it is by virtue of the prime act and that other similar acts could be formed. So we are now doing similar acts from the prime act that God gave to Louisa. We're entering into that prime act of God, one with Louisa. So all the glory of the prime act. So Jesus is going to teach us. If this is confusing at this point, don't worry about it. Just keep on reading. And all of a sudden, one day, you're going to have that aha moment. You're going to go, oh, my goodness, this is what you're talking about. Each and every one of us in the divine will has gotten glimpses of this. It's not the fullness of it. The fullness of it is when that great event occurs, when the earth is going to shake, Jesus says, when he gives the divine will to all the world. Therefore, you shall always have the first fruits of the kingdom of the divine fiat. There shall be nothing done in it that shall not start from your prime act, Louisa. Get to know Louisa. So all shall be turned toward you, Louisa, to you, Louisa, the beginning of the glory. Therefore, I, God, want everything to begin from you, Louisa Picaretta, in order to form my supreme kingdom. She's the firstborn of the life of the new Adam and of the new Eve. And because of this, you're going to be astonished. The world is going to shake when God reveals who Louisa is. You're going to see a creature, a human born of original sin, to be, as Saint Peter says, divinized. Not to become God, but to share in divinity. This glory is close. How do we know it's close? Because Luisa, Jesus said this. He said, when the book of heaven comes out to the world, he says, it'll change the face of the earth. It will be this people that my children will be spiritualized and divinized as they read, as they study. Volume 21, 3, 6, 26, 19, 27. The soul who possesses my divine will is the call of all the acts of the divine will. Okay, so who possesses this divine will? It's Luisa. She's calling all of us to also possess all the acts of the divine will. Because of who she is, and that's why I keep on saying, who are you? Who are you, Luisa Picaretta? That Jesus would give you this gift. So you possess the divine will. You are the call of all the acts in the of the divine will. And as they meet, they immediately recognize each other. That's the glory. If you can get to the reunion, the family reunion of Luisa at Rome City, Indiana on August 15th. Well, it's really the 12th through the 16th. You're going to meet souls of one mind, one heart, one faith. It's your family. This is what he's saying. You be immediately recognize the other souls. What is there? They are of one mind, one heart, one faith. They want no bickering. And again, if that happens, it just shows that the souls are not there yet. It just shows that they're in their misery. There has to be that peace, that joy, that happiness. And that's what I see at every year when we have that family reunion of the little family of Luisa, August 15th. This is why when you pray your round in creation and redemption, okay, Jesus is teaching us to do this. All things speak to you. Those are the acts of my divine will that speak to you within them. So we begin to hear the I love you of creation and redemption in all around us. When we kneel in front of the Blessed Sacrament and we look at Christ crucified, we hear with our heart, our mind, our soul, not with our ears, we hear this, I love you. For every drop of blood, we hear this, I love you. For every tear of our Lady, we hear this, I love you in redemption. All things speak to you. Those are the acts of my divine will that speak to you within them. In fact, it is right that the soul who possesses the divine will know its life. So that's what Jesus is doing. He's teaching us in the book of heaven, this life of the divine will, this light of the divine will, this love of the divine will, that while it seems to be divided among many created things and distinct in many different acts, yet it is one single act. It is necessary that the soul who possesses it, the divine will, be aware of all its acts in order to form one single act with all the acts of my divine will. So God is asking us to participate in this divine I love you in creation, this divine I love you in redemption. This is what sanctification is. This sanctification of humanity, this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming begins now with the souls who are striving to live in the divine will. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. That's what God is asking. Volume 21, 4, 22, 19, 27. My daughter, this is precisely my purpose for coming to you so often. So what's the reason for the book of heaven? Jesus says, this is the reason. So much so that it may appear strange to some and almost outside of my usual way, which almost with no one have I done this of going so often. So here he's saying, what I've given to you, Luisa, is I rarely do this. You look at the lives of the saints, you know, they will appear, Jesus will appear to them occasionally, but for this intimacy with Luisa, he says, this is the reason. All these appearances of Jesus, this whole book of heaven is to reorder my prime act of the way I, God, created the soul. And this is why I, God, return to you, staying like the most loving father with his little daughter. So all these people who say, well, I don't like Jesus. I don't like this romantic stuff of Jesus kissing Louisa. Louisa kissing. It's a father kissing his little daughter. It's a little daughter kissing his father, her father. It's a divine I love you of really becoming children of God. This is what he says. How many times have I not breathed into you to the point that you could not contain my omnipotent breath? This divine I love you. He breathes into us. I have poured into you my contained love to the point of filling you up to the brim of your soul. All this was nothing other than the renewal of the solemn act of creation of Adam. He's repairing, he's redoing everything to a human who possesses this gift. And now he wants to do this to us. When you breathe, say to Jesus, breathe in me as you breathe into Adam. Breathe in me as you breathe into Louisa. Breathe into me, Jesus. The solemn act of creation. 521, 518, 1927. My daughter, why does the sun give light to all the earth? Because it is greater than the earth. And because it possesses the one and complete light, strength of light. It possesses the source of colors, of fecundity, of the variety of sweetnesses. And this is why the sun being greater than the earth, it can give light to all the earth, and it can give the variety of colors to flowers and the different sweetnesses to plants and fruits. It's the greatest. In its greatness and magnificence, the sun does one single act, but in that single act, it does so many other acts as to keep the whole earth captured to itself, giving to each thing its own distinct act. Now, my divine will is more than sun. And since it is the endless will of God, that this one single act issues from itself the fecundity of all the other acts together, the soul who lives in the divine will, that's what we're striving for, possesses the source of all its acts, its fecundity, this growing, life, this light, this love. And so in the soul in whom the divine will reigns and dominates, it changes neither regime nor manners. And as it operates in the soul, her acts come out with the multiplicity and the fecundity of the divine acts. We don't see this with our eyes, but Jesus says, this is what's happening when you're doing an act in the divine will. All the acts of God are a single act that embrace everything and do all the acts together. See, in the creation of Adam, one was our act, but in this one act of sanctity, of power, of wisdom, of love, of beauty, of goodness came out of us all together into Adam. This is Adam. This is Adam, sanctity, power, wisdom, love, beauty, goodness. And Adam said, no, I want to live in my human misery. That's why this Ascension Thursday, we're going to say to God, take my human will. And in exchange, give me the divine will. What's the divine will? Sanctity, power, wisdom, love, beauty, goodness of God. In sum, there was nothing of our own that came out of us that was not infused in Adam. And Jesus says, I want to do this again. I want to have humanity return to the beginning, to his origin. Volume 22, 6, 8, 1927. You must know that my divine will gives the unity of everything to the soul. And just as my divine will, while being one, does everything in the same way, the soul who possesses the divine unity encloses within herself the thoughts of all, the words of all, the works of all, the steps of all, the heartbeats of all. See, we represent all of humanity in front of the Blessed Sacrament. The church teaches us that. If you're the only one in church and you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you represent all of humanity. You say, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, Lord, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Watch what God's doing. He says very clearly, as if they were one alone in such a way that my divine will finds in the soul all generations and the single act of each one, just as it finds in them within itself. Oh, how the steps of this chosen creature, Louisa, can be recognized. How sweet is her treading. We're going to begin to see in a way. And it's, again, this new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II prophesied is here for anyone who wants it. Volume 22, 8, 4, 1927. My divine will absorbs everything and makes the soul become all of God, who wants to become of her another son. One who is son, all wants everyone to become son. Now, do you see, this is Louisa. Louisa possesses this gift of Jesus and Mary. And she says, I want everyone to possess this. This is what we say. I want everyone, not just my family, my friends, my neighbors, my coworkers, my parishioners. I want all of humanity to possess this gift. Jesus says this. It would not be something worthy of the divine will to form little lights. It would go out of its nature. If you are there crying over the little lights and do not think of a sun, S-U-N, that invests you, giving you firmness and unshakability. More so since when my divine will reigns in the soul, it is like the beating of a heart that has the primary act of life in all its members. It is like life, motion, strength, heat. Everything comes from the heartbeat. And if the heartbeat ceases, life, motion, and everything else ceases. So here Jesus says, the Son of the divine will is going to give you life, light, love. This is what's coming. And he says, if you don't have this, basically, you don't have the divine will. You don't have this abundant life of Jesus and Mary. This is what Louisa possesses. Volume 22, 8:15, 1927. Look at the sun in the sky. It is light. It is an act distinct from all the other all the created things. But its light binds everyone. It invests the earth and binds it with its light. And the earth binds it to it and drinks in large gulps from the font of light. And it receives its effects, its heat, its ardent kisses, and forms one single act with the sun. You go out into the sun, you feel the warmth, you feel the heat, you can see clearly. Now the soul who lives in my divine will, my divine fiat, possesses the unity of the light. Therefore, the soul is inseparable from all the acts of the unity of my divine will issues. Okay, do you see what Jesus is saying? He's saying, if you want to live in the divine fiat, you're going to possess the unity of it. Now, most of us got a sliver of it who love the divine will. It's just a sliver. But the fullness of this light, this life, this love is coming. It's very, very close to those who want it. The soul who lives in my divine fiat possesses the unity of the divine will. Therefore, the soul is inseparable from all the acts of unity my divine will issues. The unity of it binds the soul to God and gives me, God, the glory of the divine operating. So here, this divine operating is the way Jesus lived. It's the new Adam, the way Mary lived, the new Eve. This divine way of operating is the way Adam possessed in the beginning. But he lost it. So Jesus and Mary come as the new Adam and the new Eve, and they breathe into the soul, Louisa, this gift. It says, the unity of it binds the soul to God, and the soul gives me, God, the glory of the divine operating that Adam lost. It binds her to the angels, to the saints, and she gives me, God, the angelic glory and the glory of the saints. It binds her to all of creation, and she gives me the glory of the heavens, of the sun, of the sea, and some of everything. This is the round of creation in which my divine will operates. She is inseparable from the divine will and forms her unity with the divine will. We're letting go of the human will and embracing the divine will. Again, Ascension Thursday. This is the vow. It's what a glorious thing. The consequences of this is peace, joy, and happiness. Volume 22, 8, 28, 19, 27. What does my divine will not do in the creation? There is nothing in which it does not hold its primary act of life. It runs and runs incessantly toward the creature. It runs in the wind, in the water, in the earth, in the flowering fields, in the waves of the sea, in the outstretched heavens. Everywhere it runs in order to find the divine will in humanity, in souls, in God's creatures. So Jesus says this: you must know that my divine will cannot admit the acts of my divine will into the soul, into the creature, if it does not find itself. So this is why he has given us the book of heaven. The more we read, the more we study, the more we put this into practice, the sooner the kingdom is going to be reigning in us on earth as it is in heaven. Why? If the divine will doesn't find itself in the soul, because the soul will lack the capacity, the dignity, the sanctity, the space to be able to contain even a single act of the supreme will. And this is another of its sorrows. But by the nature of its goodness, it communicates its effect. So God is going to have his way. God is going to win. This is why we're so happy. God is offering this back to humanity. Now it's the true life of the new Adam, the true life of the new Eve through this newborn Louisa. It's ours if we wish. And he says, all that he looks for is the fiat in all situations. Fiat, let it be done as you say. Volume 23, 10-2, 1927. You must know that Adam possessed such divine sanctity when he was created by God that his acts, even the slightest, had such value that no saint ever, either before or after my coming upon earth, can be compared to this sanctity. So no saint until Jesus came ever possessed this. Then when Jesus came as the new Adam, Mary as the new Eve, now after 2,000 years, they can breathe this gift into the newborn, Louisa. He says, no saint either before or after my coming upon earth can be compared to Adam's divine sanctity, and all of their acts together do not reach the value of one single act of Adam. Because in my divine will, Adam possessed the fullness of divine sanctity and the totality of all the divine goods. He was in God's image and likeness. And that's what God breathed into Louisa. And now God wants to breathe that into us. Volume 23, 11, 6, 1927. My daughter, those who live or shall live in my divine will, that's us, shall all be like the first act before God, because my divine will has one single act and an incessant act that starts always from the first act. And by virtue of this single and incessant act, it elevates all the acts done in it to the first act in such a way that all those who shall live in my divine will shall find themselves in its one act. We're going to return to that prime act of God. We're going to return to that abundant life where God breathed into the dust his image and likeness. This is the life of Jesus. This is the life of Mary, more than what God gave to Adam. And all as first before the adorable majesty. Therefore, in my divine will, there shall be neither before or after. All shall be fused together in one single act. There's no past or future. It's now, the eternal now of God. What honor, what glory for the soul to be able to have her place in that single act of the will of her creator, and from which, as a font, all goods and all possible and imaginable happinesses gush forth. We're returning to that. Volume 23, 1220, 1927. My daughter, in the soul, there are two characters, the human and the divine. The divine descends from the unity. In order to receive the divine character, the soul must live in the unity of my divine will. So how do we enter in this unity of the divine will? It's with our desire and by reading, studying, listening to the lessons that Jesus is teaching us every day. And little by little, it's like Jesus was on earth for 3 years teaching his disciples about the kingdom of redemption. Well, the kingdom now of sanctification is coming. The kingdom of the divine will is coming. So he's with us more as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice. In this unity, As the soul forms her acts, they rise to the unity of their God in that single act of God in such a way that one act alone is formed in God himself, and the light of the single act descends down below and invests everyone and everything and embraces everything, gives to each soul the act that is needed by multiplying to infinity the multiplication of all possible and imaginable acts. This is what God does. And see, God is asking us to enter into this abundant life. This is what God is asking. Therefore, as the creature does her acts in this unity, they acquire the divine characters. This is the life of Mary. This is the life of Jesus. That while it's one single act, they enclose all the acts together. Oh, how beautiful it is to do everything with one single act. Only God has this virtue so powerful that with one single act, he does everything, embraces everything, and gives the operating to everything. So Jesus is saying to Louisa, he's giving this to humanity again. He's offering this to us. So he says this, what a great difference there is between the divine and the human character. The human does many acts, many works, but the creature remains always encircled within her acts, and it seems that they have no light to extend and diffuse to all. So the human act is limited. This is the one thing that's really, 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 really interesting. I know I have a Wendy bird here that's got her, it sounds like something's on that should be turned off. Okay. Therefore, the creature does this act in the acquires the divine characters. So God is doing this. Jesus is saying, I want you to begin to live this abundant life. And he's asking us to say yes to him. Listen to what he says. The creature does her acts in the unity and they acquire divine characters. That while it is one single act, they enclose all the acts together. So in the divine will, Jesus says, I'm offering this to humanity. And as you say, I want to do this in the divine will, you're acquiring the divine characters. Now you can't see this. You can't hear it. You can't smell it. You can't taste it. But Jesus says, this is entering the one single act and they enclose all the acts together. Oh, how beautiful it is to do everything with one single act. Only God has the virtue so powerful that with one single act, he does everything and embraces everything, gives the operating to everything. This is what God is asking of us. He's asking us to let go of the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin. What a great difference between the divine and the human character. The human does many acts, many works, but the creature remains always encircled within its acts, and it seems they have no light, no divine light to extend and diffuse to everyone. They have no feet to walk, wherever they are done. They do, they remain. So Jesus is saying, when you do the human, it's not the divine. So he says, I want you to learn how to do the divine. And you're not going to see it. You're not going to smell it. You're not going to taste it. It's trusting in Jesus. You say this, Lord. Okay, let it be done as you say. It's the fiat of Our Lady. How can I do what God wants? Jesus says, how can I do this? And she said, the angel said, it will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. She says, fiat mihi, let it be done as you say. The surrender, the docility. Then God does it. Watch what God's going to do. You let go of the human and you begin to embrace the divine. And again, it's little by little. It's one step at a time. So as much as the creature might do, all her acts are numbered, restricted. Therefore, the character of the human operating is so dissimilar from the operating of the divine unity from one who operates in it that it is easily erased and remains without seed of fecundity. So that if you do something humanly, it's gone. It hasn't entered into eternity. It hasn't entered into that. This is why I, God, want the soul to live in the unity of my divine will, to make her acquire the divine characters that are indelible and eternal and like light this light in the sky. They diffuse and expand. They multiply. They give themselves to everyone, even more. They have the supremacy over all the acts of all of humanity. If you knew how much pleasure the divinity takes in seeing your littleness rise in the unity of one single divine act that never ceases, to unite your acts within our single act, you to give us your own human will, and we to give you our own divine will to impress in you the character of our single act, you put us triune God in feast, and we triune God feel the divine happiness, the divine joy of having created the creation. Finally, humanity has returned to what I want. This is what Jesus is going to show us on Ascension Thursday. He's going to show us this. When you give us your own human will, we will give you in return our divine will to impress in you the character of our single act. Therefore, on this Ascension Thursday, you will put us, Triune God, in feast, and we, Triune God, will feel the happiness, the joys of having created the creation. Finally, Jesus says, there are souls who are doing this. Volume 23, 1, 18, 19, 28. I was continuing the acts of the divine will, and I said to myself, oh, how I would like to enclose myself in the prime act of God in order to do everything with one single act. Learn this prayer. Write this out. Put it on your mirror in your bathroom. So the first thing, oh, how I would like to enclose myself in the prime act of God in order to do everything with one single act, to be able to give back to my God, creator, all the love of humanity, all the glory, his very beatitude, infinite joys, to be able to love him and glorify him as he glorifies and loves himself. This prayer in front of the Blessed Sacrament, say it to Jesus. Say it to Jesus in the monstrance. Let God speak through you to himself. What would I not give him if I were present in that prime act of the divine fiat? I would lack nothing to make my creator happy with his own divine happiness. And seeing myself impotent, I was praying my sovereign mother, Mary, come to help me, to enclose me in your maternal hands, in that prime act in which you, Mary, had perennial dwelling. Because since Mary lived in the divine will and the prime act of God was hers, therefore she could give to God whatever she wanted. But while I was thinking of this, I said to myself, how much nonsense I am speaking. For my lovable Jesus, moving to my interior, told me, my daughter, the queen of heaven, in her glory, in her greatness, is as though isolated. Why? Jesus says, in fact, she alone, having lived the prime act of God, that is in the fullness of totality, the divine will, she alone is the isolated queen. She does not have the cortege of the other queens who surround her and match her in the glory, in the greatness that she possesses. She finds herself in the conditions of a queen who is surrounded by damsels, by page boys, by faithful friends who give her honor and to keep her company. However, no other queen equal to her gives her the great honor of surrounding her and of keeping her company. What would be a greater honor for the queen of earth? To be surrounded by other queens equal to her, or by people inferior condition in glory and greatness and in beauty? There is such distance in honor and in glory between the one who is surrounded by queens and the one who is only surrounded by other people. No parallel can be compared to it. So here Jesus is showing us where Our Lady is. The triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is we become like Jesus and Mary. Image and likeness. The triumph is very close. Yesterday was May 13th, the beginning of the 5 months of First Saturdays. Greatness is happening. Goodness is right around our corner, and we'll be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.